Hey, welcome to the Circuit Rider Podcast. I'm Nick Brandt, and I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders, and it is amazing to see how God is growing this missional community both here and around the world. We have gotten so many testimonies of how this podcast has revived people's faith, empowered them into their purpose, and led them into a place of personal freedom. And right now, as the Circuit Riders, we're in a season of expansion, and we need the help and support of our whole community, including you, to meet those needs. So if Circuit Riders has been a source of encouragement, life, or a blessing to you, we are asking that you would become a monthly giver. Something powerful takes place when we move from just a place of receiving to taking personal responsibility in becoming a participant by giving. If you're ready to give, you can donate now at www.circuitriders.com/donate. Again, thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Well, tonight, guys, we're going to jump in. We're just in this series called How to Spend Time with God. And the simplicity of this is that we don't want you to know a lot about God. We want you to experience God yourself. If me or Jonathan Stamper or Derek or Zach or whoever's speaking up here is your only place that you're growing in Jesus, that is such a ripoff. Can you imagine your only source of romance is watching rom-coms? That's some of your life right now. Is it preferable? No. We want you to have the real thing. We don't want you to settle for watching it. We want you to have the real thing. And so tonight, we're going to talk about prayer. Everyone say prayer.
Prayer.
Come on, say it like you need it. Say prayer.
Prayer.
There we go. Prayer. Prayer is one of the most, I would say for me, it is has been the most defining spiritual discipline in my life. In fact, I will say out loud to my wife, Emily, all the time, for those people who do not have a rich prayer life, I feel like it would be so hard to be a Christian. Because they're like visiting God every weekend or Monday night to say what's up and get a little worship. And then it's like they don't get to talk the rest of the week, where I'm in conversation all week, every day. God is not far away. God's on, you know, a super long distance phone call. Boom, he's there. And we're talking and having profound experiences. How many of you have ever been walking and having a normal day and the Holy Spirit decides to say something to you? I know it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like someone else's voice is in your head. And it's one that's nice to you, actually, so you know it's God. And it's like, you're doing a great job. And you're like, man, thank you. Right? It's that rich experience of prayer that changes our life. And here's the crazy thing, is that Scripture seems to agree with me. Like, you need to meditate on the word day and night. We're there. We did that last week. But if you do not have prayer, you're missing a complete dimension of your relationship with God. I want to look at this because this is so crazy. Because you got to think about this. We're going to look at two different passages. They're both kind of retellings of the Lord's Prayer. But what's interesting is that the disciples only are on record, maybe they did it, I'm sure, far more often, but the only one that's on record in the Gospels that they ask him how to do something is only one time. And they ask him how to pray. That's the question. Like, imagine if you were rolling with Jesus. Jesus is daily emptying hospitals. Like, he is walking into your local urgent care and putting the doctors out of business. Like, people have leprosy, that means that, like, their appendages have fallen off. And in Jesus' meetings, fingers are growing back, arms are coming back, paralyzed people are running around, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing. Okay, if that's not enough, people are getting delivered. And there's, like, some dramatic deliverances. Guys are breaking chains, they're so supernaturally, demonically strong, and he's casting out of them. There's guys who are basically, demons are controlling them and they're jumping into fires and Jesus is easily delivering them. I mean, this is a moment like you don't want to miss what Jesus is doing. Jesus is rocking and rolling, preaching the most profound message everywhere he goes. Every other teacher is like, no one speaks like you. Who even speaks like you? This is unbelievable. You're so, it's like you have authority and everyone else is like just talking about God, but it's like you know God. So he's an amazing preacher. He's healing the sick. But yet the thing the disciples want to know about is his prayer life. What was so attractive about his prayer life? In Luke 11, a simple moment. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And then he goes on to do the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But I just have to ask myself, like, have you ever met that person that when you talk to them, you knew they knew God? Like, you ever had good jealousy? Like, I wish I knew God like that person. Like, have you ever had, like, holy jealousy? Like, they are so confident God loves them, and I just don't feel that confidence. Have you ever been with an evangelist and shared the gospel? And while you're working up the courage to even say something out loud, you look over, he's gone, talking to someone, leading them to Jesus. And you get in your car, and you should be praising God for souls, but you're like, I wish I was that guy. I wish I had the confidence in a relationship with Jesus like that person. I think this must be what the disciples are feeling. Is they're going, man, every time you get away early, because Jesus was famous for going early in the morning and late night, every time you get away, you come back filled. It's like you were actually having a conversation with God, and you always have downloads, and you're always doing something. You always got a new game plan. I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like his morning meetings? All right, guys, let's circle up. How's your morning? Did you guys get some breakfast? Yeah, Jesus, what were you doing? Well, I was up since like 4 this morning, and I was just with God in the bushes, talking to the Father. Literally, that's probably where he's at, kind of near a bush area. And he's just talking, Jesus talking to the Father. And he goes, hey, we're done here. And revival was breaking out the day before. And you're like, what do you mean? We're done here. Yeah, God spoke to me. We're going to a new place and God's going to meet someone there. And I think something powerful is going to happen. The Holy Spirit's leading us. Let's all rock and roll. And they get up and they're like, man, how many morning meetings like that would you go, I want his prayer life? Right on day 15 of that, where you do walk to the new place and revival breaks out again, they're smart. They're going, the secret ingredient, because every time you go away to pray, that's what I want. Now, so much when we talk about prayer, I feel like we immediately get into obligation and guilt zone. The emotion I would describe it as calling a relative that you know you should call, but you're always putting it off. And you know they should call them. How many of you have a relative like this? And there's a number of reasons maybe you don't call them. Number one, they're always angry at you for not calling earlier. How many have it? Don't raise your hand. Get dangerous, live stream. Two, they always are pouring like a wet blanket on your dreams.
When are you going to get serious, Johnny? And you're like...
Jesus, you know, like, right? Maybe you don't call because it's long talkers. How many have friends that are long talkers? Like, you literally have looked at the caller ID and you go, I don't have 2 hours right now. Some of you need to have some self-awareness. They're not rejecting you, okay? You're rejecting you. All right, so, and so there's this obligation. I feel like so much of the time, where it's like, you should pray more, you should do it because it's powerful and it's in the Bible and you should go for it. But there's a lens around prayer that when you see prayer rightly, you want to pray. Yeah. It's not something you have to do, it's something you want to do. And so tonight, we want to dismantle 4 different paradigms that I feel like keeps us from prayer. Are you ready for this? Yeah. So I want to zoom in. We're going to read the scripture first. Matthew 6, if you got your Bible, you can pour it out and spiritually, I don't know what that means, but... just go with it. You say things when you're preaching sometimes and you kind of make this mental decision like, am I going to fake like I meant to say it? Or do I acknowledge I made a mistake? I made a mistake. Here we go. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, this is Jesus speaking. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we want to look at four different paradigms. See, what's so interesting is that Jesus, he's going to teach the disciples, like, hey, can you teach us to pray? And the first place that Jesus has to start is he has to dismantle religion. I feel like maybe the number one blocker in all of our lives from praying is somewhere along the line we bought into a lens of religion around prayer. Because religion ruins everything. Have you ever been around religion? It usually hangs out in the back right corner. And the crazier things get, the angrier they get. And they always want to come up right when I'm done speaking and ask me what the Bible verse is for people shouting to Jesus. And I'm like, do you have Google? Like, I don't know that you need me. Jonathan's getting healed over there. He's laughing. Right? But religion makes everything, it misses it because it steals it. It's about relationship, and it makes it about rules and doing it in a right way. And so Jesus first has to stop by pulling back some religion. Here's the first thing that happens. The first thing that happens is that religion makes things a performance. The Pharisees made praying a performance. See, sometimes I've actually walked away from prayer meetings and felt like a loser. Has this ever happened to you? Or like, you're like, I don't know how to pray worth lick. My prayer is like, the other guy next to me is like, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your power would flow from your throne and it would descend like a dove, like the dove that would land on your shoulder, Jesus. And that God's booming voice would come from heaven and say, well done, servant. You don't even know where they're going with this. And they're like, then they dovetail back. And Lord, the great commission is going to be fulfilled. Lord, we pray for end time revival, apocalyptic revival, your glory, your anointing. Lord, right now. And you think they're done. They're not done. That was a breath to go really up. And we ask even now, as we pray. And it's amazing. It's genuine. It's real. I pray like that all the time. But when you're thinking with religion, you're going like, oh, you're forgetting. Hey, that's just how Johnny is. Johnny always prays like that. And all of a sudden you start going, maybe I should perform. Maybe it's what I'm saying. Maybe it's how I'm doing that makes this even more powerful. See, what makes prayer powerful is that it's a relationship. It's who you're talking to. What makes prayer powerful is when you're actually connecting with that person that you're talking to. And so what Jesus is doing here, he's ripping away that it's all about procedures and models. See, the Pharisees were jacked up. They loved being publicly spiritual, but they were not privately spiritual. Like, how many of you have a friend that's so nice when you're in a group, but when you're not in the group, they're not as nice? So you're like, wait, my friends. Right? This is the heart of the Pharisee. Is when I have something, how many have a friend, you need something and they get nice? Like, you know, they've been too nice for 2 minutes on the phone. Man, have I told you that you've been looking good lately? Man, I just want to tell you, man, your Instagram is insane, bro. I unfollowed you just to refollow you again, just to give you a little boost on the ego, man. You deserve that. By the way, I need a ride to LAX at 3 a.m. Can you take me? Tomorrow, right? Right, this is the Pharisee that's always praying to be seen and praying to get something. But then he dips into another kind of religion. It's the religion that the Gentiles were carrying with. So basically people who don't know God. And he's dismantling superstition. That prayer is about ordering the right words in the right way, on the right day, in the right place. And then God will do something for you. How many of you have ever met a superstitious Christian before? I have. I was in a very strange prayer time one time. I want to emphasize the word strange in capital S-T-R-A-N-G-E, Dr. Strange type strange. And I was in this prayer time and they would pray, which I love the blood of Jesus, but they would just go, the blood, the blood, the blood. the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. And then someone would pray a sentence like, and we pray, God, that you would do your will, the blood. And everyone would chant, the blood, the, I don't know where I was. I honestly blacked out. I don't even know if it was real. It could have been a dream, but it was, no, it was real. And I was in this place and it was amazing. Their hearts were so good. They love Jesus, and the blood of Jesus is so powerful and is what, where the power is for sure. But just repeating it over and over and over again doesn't give it more power. And so Jesus, first of all, is going, hey, 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 please. Because when we get around church, when we get around God, we get formal. Like, how many of you been in a jam and you got like Hallmark prayer time? Like, you were like, I don't know if Tebow's right or not, but Lord, we pray right now. Like, you're just straight up in your room. How many have said the craziest, most flowery prayers thinking it's going to do something? Jesus is like, hey, peel back all this formality. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to talk to you. Prayer is all about talking to God. And let's look at how Jesus says to begin to talk to God. Here we go. Our Father in heaven. Okay, right here, boom. To us, that's like, man, that's so cool. We're praying to Father God. In this time, this would have been the most controversial thing he could have said. Because this is the word Abba. And there's a lot of controversy, people preaching this, so I'm going to try to be exacting on this. Abba at that time in the Aramaic is the most personal way that you could call a father. So it would only be culturally appropriate to call your, like, it'd be like, you don't, can you imagine being in Albertsons when you're a kid? And like, and actually as like an adult man, like you're 25, and you're like, Daddy! Like, it's cool when you're 5, but it's not cool when you're 30. Right? It's like the most personal thing. It's like it's really reserved for the, maybe on a really special moment, like, Dad, you're the best. I just love you so much. It's this personal greeting. And so everyone, they would have been offended. So the first thing Jesus is saying, hey, when you approach me in prayer, you're approaching me in personal terms, in the most intimate of personal terms. You're saying, God, I'm coming to you. And he's going, oh, I'm so excited to talk to you. Now, this is where we all have complicated relationships with our dads. Some of you have the best dads in the world, so this is the easiest thing. I just go, imagine how dope your dad is, and that God is 20 times doper. And like, he's, you know how excited your dad is to talk to you? Heavenly Father is so much more excited to talk to you. But in reality, some of us have really tough families. And when we talk to our dads, it doesn't always go well. How many of you know that there are certain things that, don't raise your hand, that you don't talk to your dad about? Because it's always straight down the hole. It is always negative. Somebody is always going to be in trouble, and you don't want to have tension in your relationship. But this is not how God our Father is. See, the second thing that we have to dismantle is this idea that God is not good and that he doesn't want to talk to you or that you're bothering him. See, if you got how God the Father is feeling about you, your whole dynamic of prayer would change. If you could feel how excited that God of the universe gets a rush when he sees you on the caller ID. That when he goes, oh, he's about to pray. He's about to pray. I used to have really struggled with condemnation. And one morning I woke up and I had like this picture in my mind. And it was Jesus waiting for me in the room to wake up. And as I was waking up in this picture, he's going, oh man, he's about to be up. I'm about to have another day with Nick. I'm about to have another day with Nick. And then I woke up in this picture and Jesus is like, what's up, Nick? Let's do this. And I was like, hi, God. But in this picture, it's so goofy. But even my, hey, Jesus, moved his heart. Because he wanted a relationship with me. Can I keep going for a moment? Because when you understand what kind of father God is, you're allowed to pray raw. You're allowed to pray in great honesty. I'm gonna give a shout out. My brother-in-law, he's a real one. His name's Andrew. And I love Andrew. Shout him out. I don't know where he is, but I love him so much. He's an amazing businessman. And when I hang out with him, he always keeps me honest. He has zero filter. And like, he was born with no filter. There's not even a slot to put a filter in. And I love that because my filter, I think I'm the same as him. So I just have had to like build a makeshift one because I'm in ministry. And so, and when he talks to me, we go deep in like 20 seconds. We're like, hey bro, what's up? What's up? What's going on in your life? Boom, 50 miles deep, because he goes there immediately with me. And this is how God the Father wants us to go with him. This is why David has such a rich conversation with him. I mean, look at this prayer from David. He goes, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. So he just went on a rant. Basically, how many of you have ever had this moment? God, where are you? What are you doing? How many of you have ever prayed an angry prayer to God? Well, this is David. He feels so comfortable with the Father, he's able to even voice his grievance with what God is doing to him in his current state. And then he just totally flips and then goes, but I trust you in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. See, there's something that David found in his conversation with God that he's able to say things like this. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the home of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven armies, what joy for those who trust in you. David gets that the Father is good. David is comfortable in God the Father's living room. How many of you ever had that feeling? You walk into a house and you're trying to get comfortable and you even sit on the person's couch like more formally. So I've traveled a lot for Carry to Love, and one place that understands hospitality is the South. Who here has been to the South or from the South? Now, LA, they just let you sit like that. And they just go, do you want a LaCroix? That's all that ever happens to me here. But when you go to the South, they're not handing out LaCroix. They're handing out multiple drink options. All with sugar. Sweet tea. Arnold Palmer. Do you want a Coca-Cola? You're like, man, do you want a Mountain Dew? Who even has Mountain Dew at their house? Yes, I want a Mountain Dew right now. And one of those Southern mamas, they will just make you relax. They're like, what are you doing? Sit down. You look tired. Lay down. Come on. Put the recliner all the way up. That's from Lazy Boy. I spent $1,000 on that. Man, it's got massagers. You know how to use it? Here, do massages. And all of a sudden, in 15 minutes, you went from awkward to like, man, I feel like I can take a nap here. How many of you have the glorious experience of being in a Southern person's home with some Southern hospitality? I pray all of you get to experience it one day. See, David has experienced God's goodness to such a degree that when he comes and is with God, his shoulders drop. In fact, the most natural place with anybody in the world he can be is with God. There is no one in David's life who he is more comfortable talking about anything with than God himself, because he knows he's perfectly seen, perfectly loved, and approved of despite all of his flaws. God knows his flaws and yet is radically enjoying him. Can we keep going? So God is personal, but he's also powerful. So he's not just our Father, it's our Father in heaven, meaning he's above every single one of our circumstances. And when he pours out his emotion on us, it's not like the emotion of another human. How many of you, there is a friend that if you can get around them every week, you do, because you always walk away feeling better about yourself.
That's an amazing experience. But when you get around God's emotion, that actually changes the direction of your life. Your friend's emotion changes you for a day, maybe for a week. But when you actually understand the emotions of God for you, it changes your very appetites. It changes your desires. It changes the direction you even want to move in your life. Now, one of my favorite teachers on prayer, his name is Mike Bickle. He runs a house of prayer called International House of Prayer in Kansas City. Okay, here's what's crazy. I was listening today. They have been praying 24/7. So the music, they play with worship bands. So they literally transition in a way where the music doesn't stop. The music of worship and prayer has not stopped night and day for 23 years. So I think he knows a thing or two about prayer. Would you agree? Has anyone else here prayed for 23 years night and day? Okay, just wanted to check. All right, let's keep going. Maybe you have. Okay, so Mike Bickle puts it this way. He's talking about God's emotions for us. One foundational premise in Scripture is that God loves us with the same intensity that God loves God. Sorry, that distracted me, that crazy thing. I'm so angry with you, whoever you are. Okay, I'm just kidding. All right, John 15:9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Okay, so check this out. So number one, the Scripture teaches that God loves God. So you got the Father, you got the Son, and you got the Holy Spirit. And they are radically in love with each other. They are in perfect friendship with each other. There is no competition. They are perfectly comfortable in their role, and they are pouring and lavishing love on each other. Do any of you have a struggle believing that the Father loves Jesus? No. And in fact, the Scriptures goes on to say that they don't need us to be perfectly satisfied. The reason they created the world, that God created the world, is so that he could share that love with us. And what he's saying is that when you get saved, God doesn't love you like you think you deserve. The Father loves you like he loves Jesus. With the same intensity that the Father goes, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." And the same ferocity for Jesus to have everything that he has destined him to have and ordained for him to have, he is looking at you with that same intensity saying, "I love you. I love you." Can we keep going? The second thing is he loves his people. And the Lord, remember when he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength"? He's not asking you to love him in a way that he does not love you. When you wonder how God feels about you, he loves you with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. So next time you come to prayer and you feel like a goofball, like you're angry and have to earn your way back, just know it's not God, it's the enemy making you feel that way. Because when you come to God, you're coming to an intensity of love that if you will receive it, it will change your life. Number three, that love then begins to give us greater love for God. You cannot love God if you don't receive his love. If you try to perform your way to Superman Christianity, big failure, dude. I'm telling you, it stinks. That was basically 17 to the ages of 25 for me. Skip the journey. Skip the journey. Trust me. And get in. It is not more feminine, men, to receive love from God. Men, I'm gonna park on this. Men, let me bother you for a moment. Why is it that the best news for you is bad news? None of you have a hard time receiving bad news. I'm like, "Hey, bro, you're a prideful bum." And you're like, "Man, so true, I knew it." "You're gonna fail." Talk about it, man, I always feel that way. "You're behind in your life. You're never going to go anywhere." That's how I feel every day. And I go, "Bro, I like your shoes." You're like, "I like your shoes." Like, you don't even know. You're not able to even sit there for a moment and receive that somebody actually enjoys you. Like, so many of our single guys, they're always like, "I don't know what I mean. I gotta have my money together and I gotta have all this stuff ready to go because it's tough in these streets and these girls, they got expectations." And I'm like, "Okay, I love that, but the real world," well, actually parts of the real world is like MTV, "but the Christian world is different." Have you ever considered that somebody would like you enough to endure difficult things? Right there is like, I watch guys' eyes. It's like they just finished Christopher Nolan movie. Just like, "What?" I wish there was a Hans Zimmer like booming horn.
It can't be, Nick. It can't be. No, yes. Yes. People enjoy you. Your personality is annoying. I know. Your wife will enjoy your personality.
It can't be.
No, it is. It is. I promise you. There's a match out there for you. This message is sponsored by... I just the offering didn't work, so I had to... Tough times. All right. So men, women, have a moment to actually imagine that God's love for you is so much greater than you're considering right now. Watch your prayer life go up. I will match a person who's in love to pray longer than the most disciplined person in here. Because only love can take you to a place of connection. Discipline can get you to the room, but love is what brings the connection. See, that love that you start to feel, then it begins to pour out on other people. And then all of a sudden, other people start getting touch with that love. And then finally, all of a sudden, you're like, man, this is so good. You go, I just love loving others. I'm addicted to loving others. And I'm addicted to loving God. And I'm addicted to receiving his love. And it changes everything. Can we look at another scripture? Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I grew up in a middle class, sometimes upper middle class family. So I'm not from Orange County wealth. So like when I moved to Orange County, it's crazy. Mercedes here are like Civics where I'm from. Like literally, Beamer, Mercedes. I remember the first few weeks, like Beamer, Mercedes, Beamer, Mercedes, Beamer, Mercedes. And it's always like an old Honda Civic. You're just like, Honda Civic. And then you find out they're never from Newport. They're never from Costa Mesa. They live where we live, away from this area, right? So I remember growing up and my dad was so generous, but I was always worried about finances. I remember one time my dad told me a story. He took me to Big Five. I remember there's a sporting store called Big Five. Okay, and we go in there, and my dad was just trying to buy me a pair of soccer shoes. And I was literally weeping with my dad saying, don't buy these for me. We can't afford it. My dad's looking at me like, what is... You're like seven. Are you jumping on Excel at night and look at the bills? Like... I have like a Fortune 500 job. Like things are going great. These shoes are $9. We can do it. Like, but I think that reflects us asking for help today. I hate asking for help. But when you realize God's goodness, you don't have hesitation to ask him for things. It's not bothering. It's like, oh, what do you want this time? Oh, what do you need this time? Oh, you need prayer again? You need my love again? Oh, you sinned? Depart from me, evildoer. Like I don't know what's happening in your mind, but Jesus, God the Father is up there and he's going, hey, come to me and ask. Because remember, what is God after? Relationship and connection. Every opportunity he can build a relationship with you and connect, he wants. So the second paradigm is you have to realize that probably the way you're thinking about God right now is wrong. But that's the best news ever, because how you're thinking about God is like a strange, stingy teacher who's always grumpy and has a scary chart where like they put your mistakes on in front of the class and is always giving you, detention. You're kind of tiptoeing around God, and that's when you start getting weird. You're like, God, I come before you. I know it's been some time since I've been here with you. I'm praying because I'm in an emergency, so I need to pray the blood, the blood, the blood. Like you just start repeating things that people are saying. And you're like, God's like, stop, be yourself. I want to talk with you. Like there's not a bad occasion to start a conversation with God. God is always in a good mood to talk to you. And so you need to decide right now that the voice of condemnation and accusation you feel every time you go to prayer is not God. You have to realize it's the voice of religion. And religion says, you better come with your A game. Where have you been? Religion is that angry youth leader that you had. I saw you at high school. I saw you at lunch. Where were you on Wednesday night? And you're like, away from you, freak. Like, you know, it's just like. But somehow this gets into our mind that this is how God is. But he's sitting in your room. Jesus right there. And he's like, oh, he's up, he's up, he's up, he's up. Yo, what are we doing? And you said 10 sentences that day. And it moved his heart. See, God knows you can't give him love like he can give you love. That's not why he's in the game. Right? Your best love is weak love. Like, you're never going to be like love for love with God. So he's not in it to get our version of love. He's in it because he's so in love with you. Like, this is not a perfect analogy, but can we do one more analogy? This is really helping you for a moment. Have you ever had like a crazy crush on somebody? And it blinds you to, like, reality. Do you know what I'm talking about? Come on, let's be honest. Who's had a crush before? Let's just get honest in here. Honest hour, David hour right now. All right. If you've never had a crush, just walk around more in here. All right, so. Oh, right. And then, like, when you're a crush, anything that your crush does near you, you think it could be for you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you're standing by the bathroom and she's like, excuse me. And you're like, she could have talked to you, bro, but she talked to me. Like, you're staring at them. Like, you're just like, you know, you ever get caught staring in worship? Don't acknowledge you've done this. You're like. And then they look at you. And you're like, she looked at me tonight, man. Yeah, creeper, because you were staring at her like a stalker, dude. Okay, so it's not a perfect analogy because we don't have romantic love with God. But the scripture gives this mysterious paradigm of that our relation with God is like a bride and a bridegroom. And so that emotion of like, oh, she looked my way, she talked to me, is the same way that God feels about us. He goes, oh, you talked to me this morning. That moved my heart. Oh, you, you're in your car, you turn the music off and you just went for 5 minutes of Thanksgiving. Oh man, I love you too. I just enjoy blessing you. Man, I want to even bless you. I want to bless you even more. This is so fun. Oh man, they're stopping and praying right now. It's husband and wife team and they're praying for their kids. Let's go. You're partnering with me in prayer because my passion for your kids is so much more crazy than even you as a parent for your kids. We're going to partner, we're going to pray, and we're going to see his prayers answered. See, this is God's heart, and when you start to get this, as you get addicted to his heart, you get addicted to prayer. Can we continue on? The third thing, third paradigm we got to break off is unbelief. Everyone say unbelief. How many of you have been praying and you had like a self-conscious moment about yourself praying and you felt like, what am I even doing right now? Right? Have you ever heard one of these messages? It was like so powerful. Like, I'm going to pray.
I'm going to pray. I'm praying, man. I'm praying tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. I'm getting up. I'm praying. Like, you get out of bed, like, 7 alarm clocks later, right? 7:30. You're like, okay, I'm still doing it. I got 30 minutes of work. I'm going to do it. You go, like, because there's a praying secret place. You, like, go to your closet, and you always put, like, soaker music on, which is always a mistake because it makes you get more tired. No, I love the soaker music. It's like the peaceful, like, spa music, right? And then you're, like, sitting in there, and you're like, God, it's me and you. Nick said that you like me. And I saw Jonathan one time in worship. He like had his hands out and he was doing this thing. Like, so I'm just going to try that. And you're like in there like. And then you're in there and you're like there for 30 seconds. You're like, I'm insane. Like, what is happening? What have I become? What's going on? I'm supposed to be feeling something. Next amount of emotions. I don't feel anything. I want breakfast. And you leave discouraged. And you don't want to pray again. Or how many of you have prayed for something so many times you actually get angry when they say, let's pray about it again? You're like, no, they have enough prayer. I'm not praying anymore. This always happens like with my family. Like there'd be moments because we're always praying for my mom to get healed back in the day. And everyone would come up like, let me pray for you. Are you sick? Like especially around circle riders, right? Like if you have a crutch and you walk into here, there's nothing I can do. 20 people are going to pray for you tonight. And that's the way we like it. So, right? So everyone's like, let me pray. And you're just like, dude, quit. Like, is this even doing anything? So we know that God is good, but when you start to get his goodness, you realize that he actually wants to do what you're asking. So there's a couple things that maybe will help you discern what's going on. Number one, can we look at a couple of these? Number one, sometimes what you're asking for is just not his will. And so answered prayer comes when you pray the things that God wants you to pray, which you need to pray more to figure out what those are. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we do the first week on the Bible. Like right now, if you're like, Lord, I pray right now. I ask you, Jesus, for a promotion at work, 20% salary increase, and greater benefits and pay time off. God may answer that. And I have prayed crazy prayers that he may answer. But God may be in a different mood to talk about something different. How many have been asking the God the same question? Like, I'm in a dry season. He's not speaking. He's not speaking. He's not speaking. He won't tell me what my future is going on. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what my gifts are. And I'm like, have you ever tried asking a different question? Like, if you ask God, how can I grow in love? Download. Hey, God, where can I be serving now? Download. Hey, God, show me in scripture more about your patience. Oh, I'll give you downloads about that right now. See, so much, it's a conversation. And sometimes God doesn't want to just talk about what you want to talk about. Sometimes he wants you to talk about what he wants to talk about. And if God wants to talk about it, whose choice of conversation should you go with? Everyone's like, God's. No. Come on, God's a good father. He wants to have a better conversation that's going to lead you to a better reality than your version of the conversation. Can we keep going? Teach us. Thank you for that encouragement. Okay. Sometimes we're praying for huge things. So there's things that we're praying. So you got to pray according to his will. And we pray according to his will. God comes and answers. So make sure that you're doing that and keep pressing on. Sometimes God wants persistence. But what about when you're praying for other things? Do we have any prayer warriors in the house? Like you, like our intercessor. Come on, raise your hand if you are an intercessor. Like you love the title. I am an intercessor. Okay. Hopefully all of us become that later, but sometimes the things that we're praying for are a lot bigger than we realize. We're like in our room. I remember when I was like just starting off, I had just heard about revival. And I did my first like late night prayer meeting. And I had no worship band. It wasn't cool like this. I had an old Apple like huge speaker and a video iPod. How many had a video iPod? And I had this crazy song by this guy named Rick Pino. And it was literally called Signs, Wonders, Miracles. Okay? And for, it was like literally 7 to 9 minutes of him just going, Signs, Wonders, Miracles! With the craziest guitar solo you could humanly imagine. Okay?
And I would just put it on repeat, and I'd get all my high school friends, and we would pray for revival at our high school. Lord, send revival to high schools. Send revival to high schools. Lord, let revival come to high schools. Let revival come. And then we would go the next day to our high school, and we would be legitimately disappointed that there was not revival. So we go back like, man, we need to turn the music up louder. And I heard that one message by Lou Engle about fasting, and we would try to fast. I think we all were cheating. We were all faking it. Like, we fasted at night from 9 p.m. to 8 a.m., like when we slept. That's it. We call it a fast. And we're back in there. Signs, wonders, miracles. And we're like, labor, pray, pray. We go back to school. No revival. Be legitimately disappointed. Well, here's the thing. Prayers, intercession, there is a persistence required that if you don't understand, you're going to get disillusioned. And the Bible gives this wild, crazy picture in Revelation of what's happening when you pray. It's in Revelation 5 and 8. So we're about to go, like, for those of you who've never read Revelation, we're about to go there. Are you ready for this? So what happens, there's this, most likely it's symbolic, but who knows? I've never been up there before. If you have, let me know. Okay, so it's John is describing this picture of heaven, and in heaven there's this giant bull before God. So I think it's symbolic, but maybe he does have a giant bull up there. I don't know. And into this bull, all the prayers of the saints are filling this bull. And all of a sudden it gets to a point where the bull is full of prayer, and God says, pour it out over the earth. And he grabs the bull and he pours it out all over the earth. And his judgments and his justice and his power is displayed in the earth. Now, this is a principle. We live in this kingdom concept that we are in God's kingdom, but in the end time, like the very end, all of God's promises are going to come true. Everything is going to be made right. But we do get little pictures of like the bull being poured out. Like crazy miracle answers of prayer. How many of you have been like in an answer streak? It's like everything got answered in one season. You were broke. Your family was messed up. You didn't know what you wanted to do in the future. And in 3 weeks, you had money, a new job. Your family loves God now, and you know exactly what you want to do. How many ever had this moment? Well, I think there literally is something taking place that when we pray, none of our prayers are wasted. God stores those prayers, and in his divine timing and his divine purposes, for whatever must give him glory the most, he then pours out the answer onto the earth. Can we look at another scripture here? Luke 18, 7 through 8, shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? He will bring about justice for them speedily. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Okay, so when you pray, God is storing up all those prayers, and the promise is that there will be a day, whether now or later, where God will pour out the fulfillment of those prayers. Meaning, if you prayed all 4 years for your high school to come into revival and you did not see it, you did not waste your time. God stored all those prayers. And maybe you weren't the one to experience, but some freshman named Larry walks into the high school and starts sharing the gospel in the cafeteria, and he's thinking he's the most gifted evangelist. Maybe he does have a gift of evangelism, but what is happening is God said, it's full now. And so when you come to know, when you are with Jesus, you got to understand how prayer works. If you're impatient, like, give me what I want when I want it, it's not going to work, because remember, it's about relationship. It's about connection. And so God wants you coming back and back, partnering with his heart, praying for things taking place all over the world. Look at some forms of justice that God has promised to release on the earth. Number one, he's promised to release healing. God's judgment on sickness is seeing the manifestation of healing power. Right? He has promised that there are going to be seasons of revival. Who would like to be a part of a revival? God's judgment on compromise is seen in the church, and it's revived by his spirit. There's going to be massive moves of soul winning. where so many people are getting saved, it's uncontrollable. It's like the Jesus movement here in Orange County, where literally guys are getting saved at Mother's and at Sprouts and at Albertsons and at Vaughn's and at Whole Foods and on the way back at AM PM and at 7-Eleven and on the beach and on the pier and at the high school and on the college. And all of a sudden you go over to this college and they're having a revival. And you go to that college, they're having a revival. And you're calling your friends saying, I just saw 5 people coming to the Lord. And it's like, I just saw 5 people coming to the Lord. This was the Jesus movement. God promises seasons like this. So he's like, hey, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And in the moment I want to, I'm going to pour it out on the earth. Okay, one more, just for fun. God is even going to pour in the end time judgments on the earth. And that sounds crazy. You're like, whoa, Nick is going end time insanity night. This became Christian TikTok. No, it's not quite yet. I'm not quite there. But this is the crazy part, is there are some things that we want to see ended. How many would love to see people being abused ended once and for all? How many would love to see there be not one modern slave in the world? No forced labor, no human trafficking. See, when we're praying for human trafficking at the greenhouse. The promise is not only is God going to start moving in human trafficking right now, he's saying that those prayers are stored up and you're actually participating that in the very end, when I return and I say enough is enough to evil, there will not be one more slave on the earth. He goes, the prayers that you prayed in 2022 contributed to what I was doing far into the future. Isn't that crazy? Okay, last one. Last one we got to get rid of. We got rid of religion. God is good. We can't give up faith. We got to keep praying. The last one is independence. We got to give up independence. In independence, there's no love. I got it. It's not more bold to say, I got it to God. I got it. 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 That's so much of our lives. Hey, bro, how are you? Good. Translation, I got it. You were depressed the night before. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help, right? He's like, I got it. God's like, hey, talk to me about those feelings. I want to have a conversation with you. What's going on? No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just going to keep distracting myself. I don't want to deal with this right now. And see, the problem with independence is that when you only come to God on an emergency standby way, you're no longer in loving connection. If the only time you want God is when you need something from him to bail you out, that isn't love, just so you know. Now, God is so loving, he will bail you out to show you his love. But what God is after is he's after your dependence. See, I thought like we were praying this prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us our daily bread and forgive us of our debts, and we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you're like, man, but sometimes I feel like, God, that I am trying to figure out how to keep all my needs going. Sometimes I am feel like that I just am bitter and angry. Well, sometimes I feel like I'm being tempted all the time. Sometimes I feel like you're not delivering me from spiritual warfare. It's only getting more intense. Well, maybe if you're experiencing that, I wonder if God is trying to draw you near to him. Because the goal tonight is not that you would develop a formula of prayer. The goal tonight is that you would see God and experience God in such a way that you would keep the conversation going all the time. I want to read this quote by a guy named J.A. Packer, and then we're going to land the plane. This is what all the work of grace aims at. This is him speaking. And even deeper of knowledge of God and an ever closer fellowship with him. Grace is God drawing us sinners closer and closer to him. How does God in grace make this purpose happen? I'm trying to use modern English. Not by shielding us from the assault by the world, the flesh, and the devil, nor by protecting us from burdensome and frustrating circumstances, nor yet by shielding us from troubles created by our own temperament and psychology, but rather exposing us to all these things so as to overwhelm us with a sense of our own inadequacy and to drive us to cling to him more closely. This is the ultimate reason for our standpoint why God fills our life with troubles or allows those troubles to be and those perplexities to be. It is to ensure that we shall learn how to hold fast to him. See, at the end of the day, if you go, I know God is good. I'm not buying the religion thing, Nick. I'm kicking that out. I have faith, but you're still not praying. There's something in you bothered that you need God every day. And you got to give up that pride. See, the circumstances in your life, God does want to take care of them, but not at the expense of losing connection with you. Think about this. See, sometimes you're going, God, fix my situation. He goes, if I fix that situation, you'll walk away from me for 5 years. God, fix, I'm in a jam. And he goes, well, if I answer that jam, you're not going to come to me in prayer anymore. You're going to miss the whole point of why you're on the earth, because everything that you need is in that conversation with me. And all the key data for your future that you need to live out is in that conversation with me. So I have to leave these things here until you realize that you yourself fall in deep, mad love with me so that we can walk together. See, tonight we got to walk away with getting kickstarted in walking with God, not praying once in a while. So the invitation tonight is that you would start a conversation with God that would go back and forth, that would last you your entire life. I don't want a season of prayer. I don't want a one-week prayer exercise. I want you to start a conversation that doesn't end. Smith Wigglesworth has this famous saying. He goes, I never pray for more than 15 minutes, but I never go 15 minutes without praying. See, God wants you at the grocery store picking out Cheerios going, I love you, God. Today was a great day. Just like he wants you in the morning with your cup of coffee, with your Bible open, where you're worshiping him in private. God wants to hear how hard your day is at the end of the day. God wants to hear that you can't figure out what's going on. God wants to talk about anything going on in your life. And you know what? He has answers for you, but they're found in drawing closer to him. See, God is after this relationship, and God is after this connection. So here's what we're going to do. This is how we're going to end. We went a little long on the front end, so I'm stealing a little bit of time at the back. Here's a couple quick practicals for all of us. Number one, if you want to pray, start out praying by going to a private place. Way easier to pray, like if you live in a community house, don't pray at the kitchen table. Not the vibe. You're like trying to pray with your headphones on, but someone's like, hey. And it's over. It's over, right? It's over. So you got to go somewhere private. For me, I like going and walking at night on the beach. I like listening to the ocean, and for whatever reason, it's like a download center. For some reasons, when I walk in Newport Beach at night, because there's no lifeguards there, and they don't come kick me off, and I walk down and back the beach. I don't know if that's I'm allowed to do that, but I do on the little sidewalk area. And, well, I'm lying. I do go on the sand. But when I go on the sand, and I'm walking out there, I'm standing on the ocean, I'm looking at the ocean, I'm praying. God speaks to me in the most incredible way. Go somewhere private. Number two, focus on relationship and connection, not on a formula. So just go out there and just go, God, I don't even know how to pray. So I'm just going to try talking to you, and I'm going to sit here for a while and see if you want to say anything. And if not, it was good enough to be with you, and I know it moved your heart. I love you. Number three, remember God is excited to be with you in every other voice that you have in your head. Sometimes the first 10 or 15 minutes of me sitting alone, I just feel all the things I should have been doing. Know that that is not God. Get those out of your mind and persist through the static. That's what I call it. It's like static comes every time I start to pray. Just sit there and wait for the static to leave. Finally, be honest, share your heart, and then always wait and listen. Most of the life-changing moments of my life came not with a dramatic encounter, but with a still, small voice. I'm walking back to the car and says, I'll hear God say, serve that person. I'll hear God say, hey, I'm about to provide big. Hey, I need more from you. Have more patience and serve those people better. He says all kinds of things to me all the time, and it's usually not in a dramatic way, but it's when I set time aside to also wait and listen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to practice all together. Can I get the band and the synth masters to come out here? We're going to use the soaker music here for a moment, and then we're going to pray together all together. I'm going to teach you how to pray with a fun acronym that every Californian can remember. Are you prepared for this? Do we have the graphic? It is called tacos. Nope, tacos. We're just struggling, man. All right. Getting PTSD from the offering. I'm coming back. All right, here we go. Okay, here's the first T. I don't know if Danny has the graphic, but if he doesn't. Okay, here's the first T. Everyone say Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. A is adoration. Everyone say adoration. Adoration. Three is confession. Four is others. And finally, self. Tacos. Okay, let's try it one more time. What is T? What is A? What is C? What is O? What is the last one? Tacos. Okay, so when you pray, I'm always like a big work. Like when I make new goals, I go crazy. I'm like, I'm gonna get jacked. I'm gonna work out for 2 hours a day and I'm dead within 10 minutes. So we're gonna start by building our muscle of prayer for 5 minutes. Who's down for it? Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. Synth masters, play some spiritual music. All right. Just imagine in your closet tomorrow with your Starbucks coffee. You're like, Starbucks? Folgers, man. Keurig, bro. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. I want you to close your eyes. Seriously, close your eyes. We're gonna act like we're in a private place. And I know it's kind of awkward to pray out loud. I actually prefer praying out loud for me when I pray in public. So if you go like, man, we're gonna pray quietly for a minute so everyone cannot be distracted. But when I'm in private, like it's not quiet time. It's like loud. Like I'm pacing around, praying out loud. Like I get crazy, but we can't quite do that tonight. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna put 1 minute on the clock and we're gonna do each of these for 1 minute. And here's what I want you to do. I want you in your own words just to spend a moment thanking God. Why do I do this? It's because it reorients me to who I'm speaking to and it builds faith in my heart on what he can do and what he wants to do. So here we go, Thanksgiving, every eye closed, here we go. 60 seconds on the clock. And if you don't know, start the conversation. Just say, God, I just wanna, help me to show me what to be thankful for. Highlight things that I can thank you for. So go ahead. I'm putting 6 seconds on the clock. I'm not gonna talk for 60 seconds and we're gonna thank Jesus. Here we go. Okay, we went 1 minute. So now we're going to go to our next one. Adoration. Here's what adoration is. It's when you turn your prayer from thanking God for what he's done to praising him for who he is. So, Jesus, you're so loving. You're so patient. You're so kind. It's like you're thanking for him for who he is to you. You're thanking him for his qualities more than what he's done for you. So we're going to put one more on the clock. I want you just in your own words just to begin to praise him. And if you don't even know what to say, just say, Jesus, show me what to say. And I want to encourage you, just even whisper it. Just begin to whisper to the Lord. Don't just pray in your mind. Get used to praying a little bit out loud. So here we go. One more minute. Adoration. Here we go. 1 minute. A minute. Doesn't time just pass when you're in his presence? This is how you just start with a little bit, but then man, it's crazy how many times I'm like, man, I've been here for like 5 minutes on this one. Okay, confession. This is a moment, anything going on in your life that you got to confess sin, this is your moment. And what I do in my relation with God is I don't just confess things I know I did wrong. I just go, Lord, is there any way that I can be a better friend to you that I need to confess sin that I'm not even aware of? I just go, Jesus, highlight any area that I can grow in love. Highlight an area that I can be more kind and patient. Lord, is there anything breaking your heart that you want to get out of my life? So we're going to take a minute on confession. Here we go. Go for it. 1 minute. Okay, we're going to number 4. We're going to pray for others. I think it's always good to pray for others before you pray for yourself. It just keeps your love honest and sharp, because it's not about you. You're not coming to God just always to get something. You're coming just to talk with him and love others with him. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for all of our families. If you are young, I want you to pray for your siblings, your parents. If you have kids, pray for your kids. Pray for your grandparents, and we're going to pray for the next 60 seconds that God would pour the most lavish blessings on them in this season, that God's mercy and grace and provision would go before them in this season greater than any other season they've ever experienced. So we're going for 60 seconds of the most lavish love of prayer for our families. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's pray. Okay, here's the last one, self. Now here's the deal, here's the rule. Don't come in like you're bothering God. Don't couch your ask. Ask him for real. What do you need right now? And don't just ask the right answer. Ask what your heart, what you feel like you need. Go to your Father. What is it? Are you struggling with something? You need a breakthrough? You need more finances? You're worried about your friend? I don't know what it is, but you're gonna go crazy of just being unashamed, saying, Father, I know that you love to give good gifts. Here's what I need. You're not bothered by my ask. Are you ready for this? Zero guilt policy asking of Jesus for the next minute. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Go for it. Can we all stand together? We're going to end in prayer. We won't have time for back into worship. I went too crazy at the beginning, but it was just too good. So you have to come back next Monday or to Greenhouse for more. But here's what I want to pray. Are you ready for this? Can we pray together? Say, Jesus, stir in me a new hunger to connect with you. I break all intimidation, performance, religion, unbelief. Get off my prayer times. I declare you are good, that you are moved by my love, that you enjoy me, and that you want to talk to me. I pray for the most incredible moments of prayer, conversations with you this week. Can we just rebuke the guilt monster right now off this week? Just as a fresh start. It doesn't matter if you haven't prayed in a year. It's a fresh start. I want you to go to prayer like you're the greatest prayer warrior that's ever lived. Someone prays with me. In Jesus' name, God is not accusing me. The enemy is the accuser. The enemy is the accuser. God is not angry. He's not disappointed. He's not frustrated with me. You want to hear from me, God? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Guys, thank you for being a part of this Monday night.
It's amazing. Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.